So welcome to our Palm Sunday service. And today we go with Jesus on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But we will also journey with Jesus to the cross. And as we go on this journey together, we're going to see that the followers of Jesus have four characteristics. We are to be praising people, repentant people, cross people, which has nothing to do with feeling angry or annoyed, but everything to do with the cross. And we are to be redeemed people. And so this service falls into these four parts: praising people, repentant people, cross people, redeemed people. People who follow Jesus are praising people. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem is one of the incidents that is recorded by all four Gospels, and we've just heard Matthew's account. And we heard how a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. We call this Palm Sunday. Matthew has told us that the crowd cut branches. John tells us that they were palm branches. And the crosses that we are given today are made of palm. And as you hold that palm leaf, it is a symbol of praise. They spread their cloaks and branches on the road. They gave Jesus the red carpet treatment. Probably more of a light brown colour, really, but you get the idea. They were honouring him. And we heard how the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They didn't say Hosanna in a nice liturgical voice. They shouted, and they were shouting lines from Psalm 118. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is a declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one the scriptures foretold. He is the one. Now, if Jesus had been a self-effacing Englishman, he would have said, "Oh, no, 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 I don't deserve all this." But Jesus wasn't an Englishman. Sorry to break that to you. He was a Middle Eastern Jewish man. And any other Jewish man would know that he did not deserve to be praised as he who comes in the name of the Lord. As a worshipper of Yahweh, he would have been horrified at the thought of being worshipped as a man. But for Jesus, that would have been false modesty, in the literal sense of it being false, because Jesus was and is worthy of praise. And as his followers, we are called to be people of praise, people who praise Jesus. We are praising people. Having been praising people, we now find that we need to be repentant people. We hear now of Jesus, after his arrest and mock trial, being hauled up before the Roman governor Pilate. The Jewish leaders, the chief priests and elders, were complicit in getting Jesus sentenced to death. And Pilate, perhaps against his better judgment, did not have the courage to avoid an injustice. But we have to face the uncomfortable fact that it wasn't just a few powerful men, the whole crowd were involved. As it says in the hymn, "A murderer they save, the Prince of Life they slay." In church today, we all joined in When Pilate asked, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" we shouted back, "Barabbas." Would we, would I, would you have had the courage to resist the crowd? Or might we have been hiding somewhere with Simon Peter, having denied Jesus? Part of being a follower of Jesus is acknowledging that he died for our sins. If we could live good, sinless, perfect lives, Jesus would not have had to suffer and die. And even if I was not in the crowd that day shouting, "Crucify him," nevertheless, he was crucified for my sin. And therefore, we are to be repentant people. Not only did we join in calling for Barabbas, but when Pilate asked, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" we shouted back, "Crucify him." We come to Jesus with humility. And we come to him now in an attitude of repentance, confessing our sins and turning away from sin. The third part of our service takes us to Golgotha, the place of the skull. It takes us to the cross. We heard how the soldiers, after beating Jesus and humiliating him, led him out to be crucified. We heard, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Any of the disciples who witnessed this might have at that moment remembered that in happier times with Jesus, he had said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." That's from Matthew chapter 16. Part of discipleship is this willingness to take up the cross. We are to be cross people. As I said earlier, this has nothing to do with being angry. It has everything to do with being people of the cross. When Jesus went to his cross, he identified with the agony of this world. When we are going through horrible times, and when we walk alongside people we love who are going through painful experiences, and when we see the horrors brought to us through the internet and the television, we know that Jesus shares in human suffering and pain. Now, you and I never have to repeat what Jesus has already done for us on the cross, but we might still have to bear many things. We all know that being a follower of Jesus does not guarantee you a carefree life. If you imagine it does, you will be seriously disappointed and probably disillusioned with Jesus. To be people of the cross means that there will be things that we have to bear for ourselves. There will be times when we have to bear the pain of other people's suffering. And as people of prayer, we carry the pains of the world to God in prayer. Because to be followers of Jesus means being people of the cross, being cross people. Earlier, as we called for Jesus to be crucified, we had to acknowledge that we have to be repentant people. But for followers of Jesus, it is essential that whenever we repent, we do it with the assurance that we are also redeemed people. To be repentant followers of Jesus does not mean grovelling before him, begging him to forgive us, and hoping against hope that he's in a good mood. To be repentant followers of Jesus means being truthful and real. Yes, the truth is, I am a sinner. And the reality that is that on my own merits, I could not stand before God's judgment. But it is also true and real that Jesus has done it for us. By his death, by his blood, we are forgiven. We are cleansed. And we may not understand how this is possible. We only need to trust that God knows how it works. The gospel writer Matthew does not explain the mechanism by which we are saved through the cross. Instead, he tells us what happened at the moment when Jesus gave up his spirit, the original giving up the ghost. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The curtain in the temple symbolized the barrier between earth and heaven. Without Jesus' death on the cross, the barrier remains impassable. But as Jesus' body was broken on the cross, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. And death itself was being put into reverse, symbolized by this intriguing and mysterious report of tombs breaking open. We go into this Holy Week as praising people, as repentant people, as cross people. On Good Friday, we will again focus on the cross. It will be solemn. It might make us feel sad. But we come to the cross knowing that through it we have forgiveness, we have access to God, and the sure hope of freedom from death, because we are redeemed people. Amen.